Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and start here in Ephesians chapter 1. And pretty amazing how the Holy Spirit works and flows. You're going to see that kind of the way worship has gone in different aspects, it's just flowing right into the message this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 says, this is the Apostle Paul praying for the Ephesian church. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, this is really cool. Sometimes we wonder, how do we pray? Well, the Lord's Prayer is definitely a prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us. But the Apostle Paul also gave us some very wonderful, powerful prayers that we can find in Scriptures. And these are great prayers that you can pray for yourself. These are, again, prayers that the Apostle Paul prayed for the church. He was praying here, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. In other words, he's praying for them, amongst other things, in verse 19, to get a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. That's a pretty powerful prayer. He's wanting us to get a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know the exceeding greatness of his power toward us. And he goes on to elaborate on what he's talking about when he says that power. According to the working of his mighty power. In other words, the same power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. We would call that resurrection power. Resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead. You could say that he's praying for us to get a revelation of the resurrection power that is working toward us as believers. That we would get a revelation of the resurrection power. In other words, we are not to be squeamish, learning and growing and getting a revelation of that power. It was the heart of the apostle, the power that's working toward you as believers. It's the same resurrection power, principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. We looked last week about the shield of faith and how that we do wrestle against powers and principalities and things like that. There is a demonic warfare. But we see that this resurrection power raised Jesus far above, not just in a physical sense from the dead, but he raised him spiritually far above all power, principality, power, might, and dominion. And so the Apostle Paul is praying that we would get a revelation of that power that is working toward us. Okay? That power that is working toward us. In other words, I know it's in there. Okay? Here he goes on in Ephesians 3 to say this. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So we see something here. There is power abundantly above all that we ask or think. Another scripture along these lines, amplified, it's great. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. All right? So in other words, we see these scriptures, and what they do is they kind of give us a treasure map, if you will, and put a great big X on the inside of us that the power of God is in us. Paul is praying that we get a revelation of it. He's saying here, not only is it in you, but it is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. I almost kind of like to think of it like this. It's almost like, in the Dakotas, North Dakota, South Dakota, now they're drilling and they're getting oil out of that place. I mean, tremendous amounts of oil. Well, it didn't just pop up there a few years ago. It's been there for a while. But we've learned how to draw the oil out, okay? And when it comes to the power of God isn't changing, okay? It's not like the power of God is really strong and the power of God is really weak. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Paul in another place says, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? We all have the same Holy Spirit. Your pastor does not have one Holy Spirit and you have a different Holy Spirit. All right? You don't have Holy Spirit Junior. You have the Holy Spirit. To get more power, it's a matter of me getting a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the power that I all Holy Spirit in this vessel that I want to draw out, that I want to get an understanding of. Again, we are not squeamish when it comes to the power of God. And this is not power to boss God around. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about, people will take some of these truths of the Word and kind of characterize them or misconstrue them as something that absolutely tries to steer people away from the power of God. I'm telling you what, we need the power of God. Your theology without the power of God is very frustrating. I will take, if theology were cars, I would take a Pinto with gas in the tank. You need the power of, I've got Lamborghini, my theology, and I'm probably, do you have victory in your life? Are you bearing fruit for God? Are you walking out the good works? You're already saved. You're already going to heaven. That's a done deal. I'm going to give you a theology test for you to pass. The Bible says he's going to reward you according to deeds done in the body. If you're going to do the work of God, you need the power of God. Thank God for good theology. And that's always part of what we preach and teach and minister. You need good theology. You need to believe right to be able to live right and have the power of God working in your life. But ultimately, you need to realize there is power. Have you ever been there when you're doing what you know to do, but it seems like you're lacking power in your life? Paul specifically prays for us to believe and receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the power of God. The power of God. Scripture has a lot to say about the power of God in the New Testament for New Testament believers. And it's important to understand it is not in any way the way many times we think of power. We just think we live in a natural world. We think of power. We think of prestige, status, money, physical strength. And when we're talking about this kind of power, it has nothing to do with that. In fact, there's an account in Acts that talks about seven sons of Sceva. Okay? These young guys are trying to get this person delivered from the devil. All right? And how they approach the deliverance of this person is they say, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. All right? Now, these are young guys, and they're rebuking an evil spirit in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. And the spirit speaks back to them and says, Jesus, I up. A spirit beating up these seven sons. Beats them up, leaves them naked. Could not do the same thing to a 60-year-old man, Paul. When Paul rebuked demon spirits in the name of Jesus, they never beat him up. They obeyed Paul. Paul had a revelation of the power, the authority that he had as a believer. The seven sons of Sceva didn't. They were trying to borrow Paul's revelation, but they didn't have a revelation of their own. Paul prays that each one of us will get a revelation. I thank God for generational heritage as it relates to Christianity and being able to walk in the power of God. And for us as parents to be able to pass down to our children a tradition in third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh generation, you need a first generation revelation of the power of God for yourself. You need your own revelation of the power of God that works toward you, not toward mom and dad, toward you. Then you begin to have that authority and begin to take authority. See, that spirit that beat up the seven sons of Sceva, again, he couldn't do that to Paul. The only way that spirit could get at Paul was through people. In working on people to get them to yield to their flesh and go after Paul. That's the only way. You know, if the enemy has to resort to getting people to go after you, you know, that's people's decision, what they want to do as far as yielding to the flesh or not. But as it relates to you and the way he attacks you, you have ability to resist him. You have authority. You have power. You know, so the kind of power and authority that we're talking about, get our minds renewed off of physical strength, money, all that stuff, it's out the door. That has no ability to resist spiritual stuff. There are strapping young men that a demon spirit can drive into depression that wouldn't have anything to do with a 90-year-old woman. Won't go near her because they've been around her before. And she's kicked them out and resisted them. Has nothing to do, again, with physical, outward. We got to think and realize this has to do with the power of God that's in you already. It's already there. That oil is there. God put it there. He gave you that so that you could do all things through Christ. There are good works he's ordained you to walk in. You need power to carry out those good works. And so this morning, we're going to talk about how to walk in the power of God. We're not going to get through the whole thing this morning. I'm just really probably, at least, going to get through just one point of this. The power of God is a big topic in the Word of God, and I'm telling you what, just to realize some first things first, that God wants us to walk in His power. God wants that power. I can tell you this, and we can all testify to this, if you've been a Christian for very long, you can look back at times you've walked in the power of God. I mean, you can hardly know yourself sometimes. It's like, praise God. I am saying, I'm doing, and it is the power of God. Like Paul said, it's no longer me who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. And you sense that grace and that power and that anointing. And then there are other times when you can be very weak in the power of God and be trying to do it on your own strength. And as we begin to learn how to walk in the power of God, it is a great reminder. And I'm going to just kind of get into some stuff here. This is why I'm going to take a little time with it. Because we get to some things where I've got my theology. I'm doing the Word. I'm doing what I know to do, but it's still not working. What's going on here? That's where I want to get to. That's what I want to talk about. Some of these areas. Because some of these areas go to work, and you're going to be trusting and looking and getting a deeper revelation in the power of God. You're going to be praying those Pauline prayers. Father God, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the exceeding greatness of your power that works toward me for this. And one of the great areas that we can talk about as far as walking in the power of God is the power to love people. And this is power, and I'd almost, you know, the more I've kind of developed it, it's the power of love. And the power of love is really what gives you the power to love. There's a well in you. I can't love this person. There's a well in you. There is power in you. There's power to love. There's power to love. If you've walked again in this life, you walked out, you're Christian, you need power to love people. You can't love people by commandment. You love people by faith, but when we talk about walking by faith, it's not like the law, where I'm just by faith. There is power to love. God gives us power to love. Faith releases power to love. Let's look at some scriptures. And again, I want to get this really practical. I don't want to stay in an etherical place where we're just kind of knowing some concepts. Again, we're going to bring it down. How do I begin to draw on that well of the power of God that's in me? How do I begin to draw on that strength and that power? Some wonderful scriptures where we get some really good practical instruction. Colossians 1:9 says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." Here again is another powerful prayer. The Apostle Paul prays for the Colossians. "We don't cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Here we go. More revelation, insight, "that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy." This is a very powerful prayer. We see a few things right up front. It is the will of God that our knowledge increases more and more and more. If you are really walking in fellowship with God, you are growing. Again, I can look at my own life. You know, when you stop really walking in that vital relationship with God, it's kind of like, I got my theology figured out and catch up to me. When you walk in a vital, living fellowship with God, you are continually increasing in the knowledge of God. You are growing, and it is a wonderfully humbling experience. And it causes you, Jesus says, He said, "I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. Learn of me." You'll be meek and lowly at heart too. You're learning. With meekness, you receive that engrafted word which is able to, in other words, you're teachable. As you begin to walk in fellowship with God, you're a learner. And one of the things that you can pray, that verse 11, is you can say, "Father, I pray that you strengthen me with might according to your glorious power." He didn't say to raise the dead, heal the sick. He said, "For all patience and long-suffering with joy." Praise God, the power of God is there to do that too. But the power of God is here to give you power to love. Patience, long-suffering with joy. When you look at the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13, the first definition of love is love is patient. Love suffers long and is kind. That is the definition of love right there. That is love. God is love. He suffers long with us and He's kind toward us. And we can pray on purpose to be strengthened with might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with love. So how do I walk in the power of love? How do I walk in the power of God, the power of love? I ask for it on purpose. In the same way, if I had a specific need financially, and I was saying, "Father, I ask in the name of Jesus, help meet this need, Lord, according to your riches in glory. I'm asking for your grace, for your provision." In the same way you can ask and make a specific request regarding a financial request, you can make a specific request regarding a relationship or a person or a situation. "Father, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would strengthen me with might for all patience and long suffering with joy toward so and so." You can personalize that prayer. I'm getting in faith. It is still faith proposition, but I'm praying in faith for specific power. Power to love. I can pray that way. I can pray. Here's another way he said it too. In Ephesians, he said, "I pray," this is the Apostle Paul praying again, another wonderful prayer. He said, "I pray that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to consider what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes God." Here again, it's another prayer. We're talking about how to be strong in the Lord, how to be, "Father, strengthen me with might through your Spirit, that you dwell in my heart through faith, that I comprehend." I'm rooted and grounded in love. Now, one of the powerful things about love, you see, it has that rooting and grounding effect. And a powerful thing that we learned about this morning, just even as we were singing, is just, you know, how He loves us. Just singing about the love of God. At Door of Life, our mission statement is threefold. Number one, the love of God. That you as a believer are grounded in the love of God, and that we reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ with the love of God to our community into the world, the love of God. Number two, it's victorious living, learning how to overcome. Praise God, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and have a victorious life over the power of sin, the flesh, the world, and the devil. And then number three is God's plan for your life. It's His destiny, helping you to find out those good works He's ordained you to walk in and go for it and walk in them. That's basically who we are. That's why we exist. Every one of my messages should reconcile to one of those three things. You should be able to do that. Oh, there he goes preaching on the love of God again. Oh, that's another victorious living sermon. Oh, now we're talking about finding and following God's plan for your life. In essence, something should come along those lines. When we're talking about the power to love, we're really talking about those first two. There's being a rooting and grounding in God's love for you that connects with living victorious in Christ. The more you realize and are rooted and grounded in love, the more secure you are. That's a powerful thing. If you can be provoked, that means you feel like you've got something to prove. Somebody said something that was wrong about you, and you're provoked. Love is not provoked. That's the fastest man, whoever that happens to be right now, Olympic athlete, whatever, and then taking an 8-year-old kid who thinks he's the fastest man. All right? There is nothing that 8-year-old kid could say to provoke the fast, and to genuinely provoke. Why? Because he knows. He knows his ability. He knows it. He's secure in it. And to think, when we begin to get the revelation of God's love, this is a prayer. He's saying, praying that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. The power to love starts out by getting grounded in the power of His love. There's a great worship song that we've sung on and off at Door of Life. It's called The Power of Your Love. It says, Lord, I come to You. Let my heart that I found in You. Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see in me. Power of Your love. Hold me close. Let Your love surround me. Bring me near. Draw me to Your side. And as I wait, I will rise up like the eagle. And I will soar with You. Your Spirit leads me on in the power of Your love. Lord, unveil my eyes. Let me see You face to face, the knowledge of Your love as You live in me. Lord, renew my mind as Your will unfolds in my life, in living every day in the power of Your love. Praise God. There is the power of God's love. Here's another aspect, too, as far as the power of God's love. This is a passage in Jude that says, but you, beloved Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Corinthians 14 references the fact that he who prays in an unknown tongue or prays in the Spirit, edification as you pray in the Spirit. Especially as it gets in your head when you're talking about love and loving people and the love of God. Because the enemy wants to distract you and build cases and different things like that. And ultimately, when you pray in the Spirit, your mind is unfruitful. You're turning your natural, your mental, even just that reasoning, you're just praying in the Spirit. You're getting built up in your spirit. There is power in praying in the Spirit. There is an edifying power. And I'll tell you what, if you've prayed in the Spirit any amount of time, you know this. You know, sometimes you just find yourself in prayer, and you just find yourself praying in the Spirit. And you come out of that place of prayer, and you're edified. You're strengthened in the inner man. It is a powerful, wonderful way to tap into the power of God, is by praying in the Spirit. It has an edifying effect. It helps keep you in the love of God. It helps keep you aware of spiritual things. It's a supernatural prayer language that supernaturally strengthens you, charges you, praying in the Spirit, praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 5 puts it this way. It says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we see right here that the Holy Spirit has been given to us. Again, that's that oil. Within that the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of God, we know that the Spirit of God is a spirit of power, spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. So when we got the Holy Spirit, we got a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. God's ability to love is in us. I can't love people in my own ability. You cannot love people on the strength of your personality. I don't care how nice of a person you think you are. You can't do it. You got to tap into something bigger than yourself. You got to tap into something bigger than your nice disposition. It takes the power of God to love people. It takes His love. Now, I'm just going to get down to some nitty-gritty stuff here. This is probably one of the biggest areas when it comes to walking in the power. Well, the enemy is a few things. We know that he's a liar. He is a really good liar. In fact, the introduction to him in the Garden of Eden is now the serpent was more subtle than any other creature. He doesn't just come at you blaring a lie. He'll just kind of subtly make suggestions as he builds a case in your mind. He's a liar. He's proud. But the other thing that he is the Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. Another thing he's really good at is getting in your head and accusing people in your mind. He might take one dot that's true and connect it to a bunch of other dots that are just arguments and imaginations that need to be cast down. He's good at that. We all have that to deal with. Being there, he'll accuse you and condemn you. He'll go after your closest friends, co-workers. He will take anybody. I mean, he will knock on all those doors looking for something to stick. He comes at us. We need the power to love. And as you begin to realize that, yes, okay, Lord, you've given me the power to love. I know that love is in me. And so, Father, I am going to love. The first thing that we do is that we forgive. If somebody has sinned against me, I am going to, by faith, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to forgive them even as God in Christ has forgiven me. I know that. I'm going to do that by faith, not because I got a warm feeling or a fuzzy. I'm going to do that by faith. And that draws on the power of God. No doubt about it, it does. And the other thing that I'm going to do too is I am going to, you know, by faith, I'm going to begin to say, Lord, I forgive them even as you have forgiven me. One of the powerful ways that we get grounded in love to be able to love people is that we go back and remember God's love for us. Jesus told a story about an unforgiving servant. A servant that his master forgave $1 million debt and puts a stranglehold on his brother who owed him 20 bucks. When we're having a hard time, bucks, in contrast to the fact that God has forgiven us everything, that where our sin is love for me, and remembering, if that unforgiving servant would have just stopped and the grip around his brother's neck, and he would have been grateful and in gratitude forgiven that 20 bucks even as his master forgave him the million. But to be able to do that, it requires even as. That's why the scripture puts it in there, even as. Oh yeah, just a reminder, you've been forgiven. You've been forgiven. You're going to heaven. He loves you. There's an even as where I'm going back and I'm saying, Lord, and that's why I'm dealing with someone. I'm going to go back and just get that person out of my mind. Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you, Lord, that I'm going to spend eternity with you. Regardless of whatever that person does, you love me. You're for me. Whatever they've done, I know one thing. They can't separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. I'm there. I'm with you. You begin to rev on the love of God. And praise God. Thank you, Lord. That's another way that the power of love begins to get stirred up in you. But now let me say this too. This is kind of where I'm going to get off a little bit and just kind of take it to another level. This is kind of stuff we've known and we've preached before. But let's take it another step here. When you're dealing with relationship issues and you're dealing with things like that, especially if you've been dealing with some things over a period of time, you can begin to develop in the flesh addictions about some things. You know, as you look at the works of the flesh, and this is in Galatians chapter 5, it says the works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, lewdness, things like that. But then he goes on to say, wrath, malice, division, dissension, drunkenness, of course, another work of the flesh. But works of the flesh are addicting. They're addictive in nature. We tend to highlight the physical actions, substance abuse. But in your mind, you can get patterns of thought that you are addicted to just thinking certain ways about certain people in your mind. And it satisfies things. All those other areas, those other works of the flesh. I really should have put it up there, but let me just go ahead and I'll just go ahead and say exactly what they are so we're not talking too theoretical here. But it's in Galatians chapter 5. And he simply bullet points the works of the flesh. He says, the works of the flesh are these. He says, the works of the flesh are these are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. Listen to this. Hatred. Think of these in terms of addiction. The flesh is addictive. Hatred. Contentions. Contentiousness can be an addiction. Jealousies can be an addictive. Selfish ambitions. Dissensions. Again, we kind of think of the substance abuse, but those other emotional things is it connects to a need to get free from. I need to forgive, but in the same time, I'm in the love of God. I'm going to realize that there are some patterns of thought. A lot of times, it can be like almost a. You can find yourself almost like the alcoholic, who wants to be free from the effects of alcohol, but doesn't want to have to stop drinking. And that's the way it can be in some of these love walk issues too. I want to be free from this heaviness of bitterness, but I don't want to let go of that, what they did or thought, those imaginations. I don't want to, it's very subtle. The enemy's subtle. This is what I do. This is what I do when I'm doing all I know to do to be free, and it seems like I'm still dealing with stuff. You can't be free unless you want to be free. So I'll say this out loud. I want to be free. I want to be free from this hatred, this jealousy, this outburst of wrath. Lord, I want to be free. I want to be free. I want to be free. Lord, I want to be free in my thinking. I want to be free in my thoughts in Jesus' name. Praise God. I want to be free. I'll tell you what, the power of, this is where we're going to go next week. The power of the Word of God has the ability to divide us under your soul and your spirit. The enemy makes his case in your soul. And it's very hard to know where your spirit and your soul end. It's just like me. This is what I think. This is what I believe. No. It's a work that's going on in your soul, but the Word of God gives you the ability to almost supernaturally step out of yourself and be objective. To objectively look at it and realize it and see it for what it is. There's power in God to be free in every area of our life. And the thing that we got to come back to is, Lord, I want to be free. There's a fight of faith that you're going to have. There are some things you've overcome in your life. You can look back and say, wow, I'm not in bondage to that anymore. Thank God for it. You will have a fight of faith, and some of them will be just 2 rounders. Some of them might be 15 rounders. They're not fun. But I'll tell you this. I don't care how many times I get knocked down. If I get knocked down 1,000,000 times, I'm going to get back up 1,001,000 times. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep answering the bell. I'm going to keep getting up. I'm going to get up. And what happens ultimately is you begin to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, part of your flesh that doesn't want to be free. You understand what I'm saying? There's a part of you and the Spirit wants to be free. And this is where you come into agreement. And I'm just saying, say it out loud to where you can hear it. Lord, I want to be free from this. I love you and I am going to serve you and I'm going to walk in the power of God to be free from this. Free from it. I forgive even as you and Christ have forgiven me. And a lot of times that forgiveness is so powerful because it's what will keep your heart accountable. If you see yourself getting worked up over a love area hurt, you got to ask yourself, why am I worked up over this? Have I not forgiven something? Oh. Or have I forgiven something? If you're worked up over something you've already forgiven, there's a pattern of thought that's just trying to draw you back off, and recognize it for that. Again, we're going to get more into that next week when we get into the Word of God. Right now, we just need to know the love of God is there. There is power to love, power from God to walk in love. You see Jesus on the cross, all the things they did to him. He wasn't new. And when you get rooted and grounded in love and you're secure in God's love for you and you know that God loves you and somebody comes along and said, you know what so-and-so said about so-and-so? It's a Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. When you know you're loved by God and you're secure in for you, it's very hard for people to get you spooked and off. But this is where you're continually getting grounded in that love. So we're talking about, again, just kind of a little series on how to walk in the power of God, starting with the power of love. God has put on the inside of us tremendous power. And as we begin to walk out that power, we are going to pray specifically, Lord, strengthen me with might by your Spirit in the inner man, for with all the power for long suffering and patience with joy. Father God, give me grace. There are going to be situations where you're working, you're side by side, you're with somebody who isn't treating you right, and it could be a daily grind. Grace, there's power to walk in love. God will secure you. God will give you the grace to love. It's been shed abroad in your heart by the power of the Holy Ghost. And as you begin to pray, and as you on purpose forgive, also with forgiving, make it your declaration, Lord, I want to be free. I want to be free. I am free in Jesus' name. Free. The power of the Spirit of God has made me free. But you make that your declaration. Because what I'm saying is there are thought patterns that need to get destroyed. There are patterns of thought in our mind that need to hear you declare you want to be free. You don't want to think those thought patterns anymore. Sometimes that can be a missing link where you begin to declare it. I am free in Jesus' name. Free. Free to let those thought patterns go. Those works of the flesh, hatred, anger, strife, all that, it's part of the thing that you're getting free from. So not only is that person forgiven in your heart, but you're free from those patterns of thought by the power of God. And again, we're going to get more into, we're kind of building a case for the power of God, but that's kind of the starting point that we want to launch out into. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can walk in the power of God, that there is a power way beyond ourself. There is someone in us, the person of the Holy Spirit, and he that is in us is so much greater than he that is in this world, so much greater than the lies and the distractions that come against our mind. Heavenly Father, I just pray for each one here this morning. I pray, Lord, for every relationship issue in their heart right now. I focus on that. And I just pray right now as each one might be just thinking about a relationship, a situation that they really want peace. They really want freedom. Not to be right, not even to be vindicated, but just to be free. Free to love. To love. To love. Father God, I just pray right now by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would strengthen each one of us with might by your Spirit in the inner man for all patience and long suffering with joy. Things that might be done to set us off, that there's a supernatural patience to not go there. A supernatural patience that's rooted and grounded in the fact that you absolutely love us, that you're for us. Oh, Lord, help us get a spirit of wisdom and revelation to be able to comprehend how great your love is for us. And in that love, to also comprehend that resurrection power that works toward us who believe. Lord, it's not even close. Help us to yield to the power of God. Praise God. And to walk free in the power of your love. Hold us close. Let your love surround us. Praise you, Jesus. We thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Touch, minister to each heart here, right? They cannot separate them from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. You're still there. You're still for them. Praise you, Jesus. And the confession of our mouth is, we are free in Jesus' name. Praise God. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God.